And of course, a Coast to Coast favorite, John Hogue, with us. He's got some more work. He's been working away. A new book coming out called 2015, The Year of Last Chances. We're going to talk with him about his thoughts of 2015 next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. And of course, our next guest really doesn't need a major introduction. John Hogue, of course, considered a world authority on Nostradamus. He is a best-selling author, an expert in prophecy. And here he is as we talk about 2015. Always a pleasure, John.
Hey, George. Happy New Year.
You too. Well, I'm kind of glad we've got 2014 behind us and now we move forward. How's 2015 looking to you?
Like 1915.
Really? Oh, boy.
Yes. You know, 2014 was the 100th anniversary of the time that history's water broke and tried to give birth to a new era. Basically, in four short years, starting in 1914, the whole epicenter of civilization, which was focused on the colonial imperial powers in Europe, shifted and gave birth by 2018 to the American century. As they exhausted themselves in a ruinous war, we emerged as a world power, and our currency also emerged eventually to become the main currency reserve of the world. 2015, 100 years later, is year one of not the American century,
that's
but
right,
the century of Eurasia. And the shift of power now moves. We are now like the British Empire, the German Empire, and other empires of Europe, making mistaken decisions based on past understandings that do not match the changing times. We've started a Cold War with Russia, which has forced Russia to move its wealth of natural resources to China.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And China and Russia and other nations see for the final time that, wow, the whole Bretton Woods world order of 1945, which was what we have established since the end of World War II, is an economic, political system focused on America as the mecca of economy, of where you find your answers, where you find your dreams defined. That's all shifting now, George. It's shifting.
Yeah, dramatically shifting.
Yeah, and it happens to every dominant nation. You can only be the top lion in the Serengeti for so long, and then you go somewhere else. Now, America has many other great things to do. But as a world cop, as an empire, as a dominant force with 800 bases overstretched across the whole planet, the sun never sets on America's military bases, just like the sun never set on the British Empire, except the economy set, because the overextension that happened to Rome, to Spain, to England, Britain, is happening to us. So I look at the year 2015 as not only a time of a great power shift, but also I call it in my new book, 10 Predictions, Key Predictions for 2015 and the Future of Richness, I call it the year of last chances.
Last chances.
Last chances, and that's not a doomsday feeling in it. What I mean is the last chance to anticipate and prevent the crises that will force the hand of change. It's the year where Saturn, in astrology terms and prophecy, has three more months to exist in Scorpio. It's been there for the last 3 years. It's out now, but it will return in the summer of 2015. And in layman's terms, what that means is that every 28 to 29 years, in the case of America, which has Saturn prominently in its chart, it's always when Americans take stock of themselves, have a national debate, and redefine what is the American dream. Now, not always has America done this redefinition. Give you a couple examples. After the Civil War, America redefined its dream in the Saturn return and became Western-oriented. It moved to colonize the Western lands and then in 28 years became a world power under Teddy Roosevelt. So it applied a review of the past 28 years to the future 28 years well. But in another time, when we had a chance to redefine ourselves just after World War I, when we had attained a world power status, we kind of kicked the can down the road about reforming and changing and redefining ourselves, and we paid a karmic Saturnian price with the economic depression of the 1930s and having to clean house in World War II. Of course, we emerged from that difficult time into the 50s, the 1950s of Eisenhower's years, where we then redefined our success in World War II to create the interstate highways and the infrastructure that, just like China is creating right now.
That was a huge decade for us, wasn't it?
It was, and that was a time where we listened to, on a subconscious level, to the need to redefine who we are. Now, that came again during the end of the first term into the second term of Ronald Reagan's presidency. And there was, again, a chance to redefine structural things because, you see, Scorpio Saturn, in layman's terms, means it focuses on economics, banking, financial systems, money, insurance. It's a time to rethink those things so that you invest in another 28, 29 years of prosperity. Or you face depressions, you face global planetary crises. And unfortunately, for whatever reasons, we did not take care of business during that period in the Reagan second term, created systemic flaws that are now in our economic and political and financial systems, setting us up for a crisis. And this time it's not fascism that we have to fight. It is a planetary climate change that strangely enough, will do what fascism did to us in the past. We got out of the Depression because of having to arm ourselves to fight Hitler and the Japanese and all that. And that's what really ended the last economic depression. Sooner or later, in the 2020s or 2030s, the answer to our economic malaise right now is when we realize that we are under a planetary emergency that requires a complete retooling of our society beyond fossil fuels into a whole new economic reality, paradigm, and that will create jobs, that will create wealth.
John, as we look at 2015, is it going to be a struggle to get to this point?
Yes, because the world is still not ready to. It's not hurting enough, basically, to see the trouble. Consider 2015 is a lot like 1938, 1939. A lot of people could see what was coming, but there just was, everybody was looking around for somebody else to do something. There was little gestures to change things, little gestures to appease problems that were growing. But then, just as now, we were kicking the can down the road. And time was running out to prevent a crisis. So then the crisis happened. And then that forced people to respond. They could have responded 10 years earlier. If we were alert and created the League of Nations to really be a body to end all wars, Hitler's and Hirohito's would have never happened. But we didn't. And so we paid the price. Saturn is always, in astrology, the sign where you can see where whatever you do that goes around comes around. Now, it can be positive as well as negative. But often in the collective in the in politics, in mass movements, it tends to follow habitual and negative trends. Because in mysticism, what I've come to understand is that masses of people feed their unconsciousness. When one of the reasons why I've had some accuracy predicting the future is that I understand this, not in a cynical sense, but in a realistic sense, that masses of people feed mass mob psychology. I mean, look at Occupy Wall Street. Mm-hmm. Look at the Arab Spring. These are leaderless people with real grievances, and yet no discipline to focus on how to change it and attain the power to change it. And the strange thing is that this follows exactly the Arab Spring as one example, is when Neptune returned to its home sign of Pisces way back in 1849, you had what was called a European Spring of mass street revolutions across Europe, just like the Arab Spring, that had a lot of grievances of laborers and workers wanting to have more control and a free say in their society against monarchical societies and governments. It failed in the barricades, just as the Arab Spring is failing in the barricades in Egypt and Syria and other places, because it's following the same problems. It's full of emotion, sound, and fury, but signifying no leadership.
We've had a lot of protests lately.
Yes.
Is that going to carry over?
Well, in these new books, I've coined a new phrase. I asked the question, are we now seeing the American Intifada? The Intifada is a definition that comes out of the Palestinians, who are usually the children, the infants, the kids who go out and throw stones at the Israeli police.
Oh, that's right.
Who are pretty much suited up like the police that you see in Ferguson and other mm-hmm. places. And what then happens is that a sustained rebellion against the police in the streets. And when the Ferguson thing happened, I coined the phrase American Intifada, and I said that this was going to create, when this situation happened with Michael Brown being shot down, and I wrote Hoag Prophecy articles that basically said that the policeman would be exonerated. When that happened in November, it would cause this intifada, this ongoing, slow-burning, hands-up, don't shoot, I can't breathe protest. Now, just like in the streets of the West Bank, some of the protests are irrational. Some of them are focused on real grievances. It reaches a point when there's a sum total, and you're going to see a lot of this in 2015, when there's a sum total of injustice. It doesn't matter if Michael Brown really did attack the policeman or not. It's the spark. I often, not only do I call 2015 the year of last chances, but I also call it the year of Iskra, which is in Russian the spark, where all things are laid out, that all the elements for an explosion are laid out.
If the spark hits the right fuel, look out. Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if the spark is right or logical. For all I know, Michael Brown did exactly what the policeman said, charged him, and he was threatened. But it doesn't matter now. It goes beyond that. It's one of those mass mob psychology forces, a tsunami of discontent. And this is how revolutions begin. They begin with simple things like that. I mean, some irrational act like a Tunisian market, a man who had a little stand was getting oppressed by the government and corruption, and his response to it was very irrational. He doused himself with gasoline, burned himself in public. That triggered the Arab Spring revolutions from Tunisia across the Middle East. And it's not right. It just doesn't matter anymore. It's the spark. And we are coming into that period now where, especially now, because since 2010, we've been in this weird situation. I'm sure you've all seen it and felt it, how there's the establishment butting heads with protesters all over the world. The protesters have no leadership. The establishment has no listening ability. And it's this Mexican standoff. It's this kind of standoff between authority and rebellion, but it's going nowhere. It's just in a tug of war. Well, that ends this new year. It ends by May. The long Uranus-Pluto squares that have been causing this. Pluto in Capricorn is the man, the establishment, versus Uranus in Aries, which is in its detriment, which means rebellion, revolution without a head, headless, crazy rebellion. And now that's ending in May, and so now there will be movement and some more clarity also. The other that will be kind of some pretty shocking and surprising things coming. The other thing that's very important about this year is what's going to happen in late November, early December of 2015. This is when Paris will see the world leaders gather to, they say, promise to create a climate change regimen of laws that lower CO2 emissions by 2030 to 2005 levels. When I hear that, I go, 2005 levels? So we're going to have a world where Hurricane Katrina is the new normal? And science is already saying you have to do a 20% reduction of your carbon emissions. You have to do 80% of your carbon emission reduction, or make the move to create energy companies that see themselves beyond merely just being fossil fuel companies, but any energy to invest in all forms of making energy. That's what all the oil companies should be doing now.
Should be, but they won't, will they?
They won't, because you have a situation in this time of revolution. 2015 onwards is a time of revolution. We're in the 20-year period now of this, where you have the old systems that are looking to be reformed, just like the Tsar tried to reform Russia in the turn of the last century. But the reality is that certain systems have their cycle of life, and they cannot be reformed. They simply are abandoned. And then what's good about our times, though, is that even though we're facing another greater depression in the future, the good side of this is that, unlike the last depression, we'll have alternatives. We'll have different new emergent economies that are not based on the fiat system of make it so with my monopoly funny money without any gold standard and any standard of value. Because these new systems, which are just baby systems now, but I predict that they are going to be these cryptocurrencies, these currencies that are based on the value of mathematics, not gold, but mathematical datums, data equations that are you create perfect numbers that can be bought and sold on a blockchain that shows everyone where it has been, so it cannot be laundered. You create a system where the value is in numbers that cannot be copied, like license plates that cannot be copied, and then that is transacted without banks, without borders, without nations telling you this has to go through this form of currency, and then you have to change it to another currency. Basically, I'm talking about a system that's starting in economics, but will spread into all walks of life, that deals with the status quo that's trying to keep its centralized power is pitted against you and me, citizens who have direct transactions with each other and interactions with each other without nations, borders, or banks.
We're coming back more with John Hogue as he looks at 2015 on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, John Hogue with us. So, John, in your look at 2015, what would you say would be the biggest prediction, or are those 10 all important?
It's hard to, with such a year that's, all these years have been this way, but even more as we, you know, years ago I said to you that each year that we enter deeper into the 21st century would bring up more and more things for us to confront and more challenges to embrace and change. I mean, we're in, this century is a century of revolution, and 2015 is a tipping point from west to east. It's a tipping point from when we can prevent things from happening by starting reforms, or we then have to cure them by letting the crises come. So to find something that's just one key prediction is hard. I would simply say this, that there are two main focuses for people to deal with, and that is, you know, to deal positively with this shift in the Western culture no longer dominating history as it
has. And you really see that shifting quickly, don't you?
In the next, by 2018, it will be as if we were talking about this in 1914, and I'm in the Austro-Hungarian Empire talking to you in the Imperial Empire of Germany and the British Empire, and we're all talking about where are we going to be in 4 years now that we've unleashed this thing called World War One. Well, it's fortunately not a war for us in the classical sense, but it is an axis shift of political and cultural and civilization issues that is moving east, and also moving away from the petrodollar. I mean, the things I talked to you about in our previous show, when I talked about a new Cold War that we basically, I would say, history will see that the West created to perpetuate its military-industrial complexes by creating an issue with Russia that's really not there, and in the process of creating sanctions has done exactly what I said it would do. It's hurt us, it's hurt Europe, bringing a major recession this year now, and even into Germany, and it's made Russia pivot to the east. What was Russia's response to the first wave of sanctions? To sign a 30-year deal, historic deal with China, where they will build their pipelines for their natural gas to sustain China as it becomes the number one economy in the world. And this was hardly reported in the context of how huge it is in our lives in the Western media. It was like, oh, Russia did this with China. Isn't that nice? Let's move on to seeing what Kim Kardashian is doing now. It's huge. And in HogueProphecy.com articles, I came out and said, look, this is very big. That's one of the most significant things that has happened in the last 100 years. It happened last year, and now the decision is now moving us in 2015 towards these changes. So that's a big one. The other big one is whether, there's some smaller ones in regional situations. I've got to also point out that the 17th March election in Israel that Netanyahu has called is key to the future of Israel as a state, which decision it makes. Which decision that people make, whether they go towards creating a Jewish state or a two-state solution, will basically, it's a vote that will decide the future of Israel's existence. So in a local sense, that is a big deal. The other thing that's very big in this time is what will happen in Paris over climate change. Because I have seen the danger of global warming and climate change for over 20 years now. I've been writing about it. And it is we've reached a point now where we need to actually do something to curtail the expellation of carbon and methane. Because right now, and I told you on your show a couple of years ago, that we have basically right now, at this moment, a super volcano that it has a caldera the diameter of the Arctic
Yellowstone.
Well, it's the Arctic Circle. You can't see this volcanic venting of methane at huge amounts. That's basically, we're looking at the polar ice cap in the summer of 2015, maybe the first year in 700,000 years when there is no ice of any significance in the Arctic Ocean. That means that the water is the dark color of the water is absorbing more heat. The oceans of the world are getting hotter. And because of that, they are creating a situation that science is now seeing happen in the Permian extinction, in the KT extinction of the dinosaurs with the asteroid. It's an element in every mass extinction that's ever happened to this planet. It has a runaway global warming that is caused by a temperature aggregate that reaches a certain critical mass where methane hydrates that are, and methane that's stored in permafrost in the land and hydrates in the continental shelves, just gets a little warm enough for them to start doing what I'm calling the Kali Yuga Coca-Cola thing. They're fizzing out and bubbling up as carbonation out of the ocean into the atmosphere, creating not a 6 degrees Celsius increase of the planetary aggregate of temperatures, but what happened in the Permian extinction, a 12 degrees Celsius rise. And it's happening far more sooner than originally was thought. Science is right to be cautious in its predictions. But 20 years ago, I was telling people in my books that science is making an honest mistake that they must make because they have to be sober with this for their credibility. But me being in the prophecy business, I was forecasting that we would find out that actually these things that they were saying were going to happen in the 2080s, 2090s are actually coming in the 2030s and the 2020s.
John, as you look into this year, you had mentioned, of course, Stormberger, who was extremely prophetic. I mean, probably, I think, as strong as Nostradamus, who knows. Yeah. Any of the things that he has predicted, do they fall into 2015?
Well, I am concerned with what I call the... Stormberger's main theme in a nutshell is he's one of what I call the World War prophets. There's a handful of people who have made amazingly accurate predictions dating the First and Second World War, describing their outcomes and details about the weapons waged. And the one thing, except for one of them, that they all hold in common is a conviction that there are three world conflicts, not two. And that the third one happens after the last Cold War, when Russian American people try to become friends. But it is sabotaged by a Babare, which is anagram for Darab source, French for Arab. So something in the Middle East between vassals, between allies of the two powers, drags them both into a confrontation that no one expected, very 1914-ish, only with nuclear weapons. And we are in the countdown. It's not just Stormberger who's saying, with open eyes will the people of the world march into these great catastrophes. Nostradamus has dated two timelines for the new Cold War's existence, being either 3 years and 7 months or 13 years. He doesn't give the time to start counting. He trusts that we will see when it begins. Now, I have put it out there that it began last year, the countdown. So that means that we will have something like a Cuban Missile Crisis, which I call the Ukrainian Missile Crisis, coming in around 3 years from now. In the first year, 2017, in the first year of the next president after Obama.
He or she will have their hands full.
They will have a crisis over, you know, I consider by that time Ukraine will have been divided. In the old Cold War, you had East and West Germany. In this new Cold War, you have East and West Ukraine. and you have NATO on one side of the border of barbed wire, and you have the Russians on the other side. And this construct has been created by those who would like to create another containment industrial business model so that lots of money can be spent making weapons and protecting people against this danger, just like in the Cold War. Only this time around, the profits say it's not sustained for 30, 40 years making lots of profits. It goes hot in 3 years and 7 months, or no later than 13 years after it starts, and it kills two-thirds of the human race in one terrible night.
Jeez. That's...
So I'm shouting alarm here as a prophecy scholar, looking at those who I contend have had a very accurate appraisal of the future, to kind of see the sum total of our actions today, I presume. And I'm saying it on your show, and I'm writing about it so that I can bring more attention to this danger so that it can be averted. It doesn't have to happen. Prophecy is not written in stone.
No, we do have free will here.
We have free will, but because we are our society does so much to prevent and suppress our free will from happening, it almost looks predictable, which brings me back to what I was talking earlier about, that there's a bit of hope that in something as incongruous as a Bitcoin, as incongruous as people in local governments just ignoring whatever happens in Paris, and they just decide that their town, their city, is going to cut 80% of its carbon emissions by 2030. There are these little movements, the power of locality over centrality, that is going to overtake the world, where you have transactions that people can make without middlemen, without controls of government and federal reserves, and with mathematical assurity that it is, you can tell where the transactions are going, and they cannot be laundered, and you know where they are. And this is the future, not just in the economy with cryptocurrencies, but also it's a mindset that's going to spread throughout the world, where people will see that locally they have more power than the great central powers. And I call it the decentralization revolution. You'll see it overtaking. It's run by it's the next step in the information revolution that has created the internet. The next vista of this is where people use that power of interaction to have a power over those who would have, corporately speaking, power over them. And that, in the coming years, I'll try to gain more detail and concept to this, but essentially this is what I see coming.
All right, we're going to take some quick calls. No personal readings. John doesn't do that. He talks about prophecy. So let's go to Earl in Seneca Falls, New York. What's your question, Earl? Go ahead.
Good morning.
Hi, Earl.
Excuse me. I have a little cold here.
You get better.
My question is about the cryptocurrency. One, basically, is there a finite or infinite number, like this one show out of New Hampshire talks about bitcoins.
Yeah, the bitcoins.
A finite number of these things.
There is not a finite number. Somehow they've been created, of course. But
well,
go ahead,
actually,
John.
Actually, one of the things that makes it secure is it's just, I try to find an analogy that, in layman's terms, one that I'm working on is that bitcoins have a finite amount of numbers that they can use, but then you'll have other kinds of coins. So there's going to be, it's no longer going to be a system where there's just one thing that everybody uses. There's going to be a number of things like Bitcoin that use the same concept, just like you have 50 states with 50 lights, 50 possibilities of giving millions of people license plates. You give them a certain number, which is an identification. The license plate is your coin. That Ohio license plates are not going to have the same numbers as California license plates. So it isn't just to look at Bitcoin as this is the one thing that's out there. It's like having just license plates for all the 50 states that are just one state. It's a hard analogy to understand, but there's going to be created a whole stream of different kinds of currencies in cryptocurrencies to choose from.
You know what? I would be skittish to do that.
It's still in the Wild West. You know, it's still, there are things being hashed out. I mean, some people were very scared when there was that big, the goats debacle. But the thing about that situation was he actually broke the rules. He basically took the coins and put it into an account.
That's right.
And so it didn't follow the cryptocurrency. And the other thing, too, is in America, because of the Federal Reserve, because of special interest in this country, you would think the cryptocurrency is a has-been thing and has died. And unless you get out from these borders and these bubbles that are being created by the media in America and realize that cryptocurrency is expanding exponentially everywhere else in the world. So it's another situation of America kind of working very hard to lag behind where the world's going.
Are we on the cusp, John, of a disaster this year, the year after?
Oh, well, yeah, on many levels, we are kind of on a tightrope with a whole number of things. And certainly if we kick the can, you know, if we in Paris, if the world leaders come out of their committees with a token law that doesn't really reduce carbon emissions, then we're heading towards perhaps being an endangered species in the next 20 years. So that's one thing. The other is that we have a fiat economy that is desperately needing a Bretton Woods moment where we, the world leaders, come together and create a new system, a new gold standard, a new value standard, and rebuild the world as it needs to be rebuilt now, rather than sustain since 1971 this monopoly funny money situation where we put everything on credit and live in cycles of booms and busts. It's just about to exhaust itself. I can't really imagine it can be kicked down the road of time much longer past 2016 or 17, at the latest 2018, but it's as soon as next year, certain things are going to happen. And there's already now legally put in place something that I predicted several years ago would happen, is the Cyprus syndrome, where if we have another crisis, now there are laws set in place that will allow banks to actually garnish everyone's accounts to a certain percentage to save themselves.
That could happen. John, thank you for being on the program. Prophecies of John Hogue, his website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, a world-renowned psychic healer joins us.